Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Samach Dalid, and we already learned yesterday Samach Dalid Amid Aleph, so we're continuing from Samach Dalid Amid Beis from the Mishnah. Zog the Mishnah, Hamashra es Ishtei al Yidei Sholish. For some reason, a husband and wife are not together. Perhaps he has gone away on a business trip, and therefore he is away. But of course, he has his duty to go and supply mezoinis to his wife. So he's left the mezoinis with a sholish. Sholish being an apotropis. A third party. Wonderful. Daniel, what would we do without you? With a third party. So now the third party wants to know, how much is he supposed to give every day, every week, every month? What is he supposed to do? So says the Mishnah. At a minimum, he has to go and give to the young lady who is at the moment without her husband because he is away. He has to go and give her the minimum of 2 kavin of chitin. Chitin, of course, is wheat. Arba kavin of so'irim is 4 kavin of barley. The reason why the Mishnah says 4 kavin of barley is because in processing either wheat or barley to make bread or cake or challah, etc., there's much more fall off from the so'irim than there is from the chitim. So if you go and take and grind and crush 2 kavin of chitim and you make it into flour, and you do the same thing for the so'irim, you'll find that there's much more waste product, byproducts of the so'irim, so there it will come out the same in terms of the volume of the bread or the challah that you're baking.
Is this direction in the sense that if the husband does not give instruction?
Correct.
You should just give her a credit card.
On the surface, it sounds like Rabbi Yossi is saying that the only time that they would go and give so'idim as a chitim equivalent or secondary option is only by Rabbi Shmuel. Was only Rabbi Shmuel in Edom. But we'll see in the Gemara that that's not really the pshat. Rashi says, the Gemara Mefarish, we'll see what this means. Besides giving her the basics in terms of being able to make and bake bread, we also give her the noisilah, chatzi kav kittis. By the way, this is all, Rashi says, the Shabbos, which means for a week. For 1 week, 2 kavan of chitim, or 4 kavan of sa'ir. In addition, we don't expect her only to live on bread. Loy al halechem levado yichyeh ha'adam. Therefore, he has to go and give a half a cup of kidneys. Kidneys is beans, like to make a chulin, so to speak. V'chatzi loik shemen, half a lick of shemen. V'kav groigris imon advela. Both groigris and devela, you're dealing with the same product, and that is figs. In the case of the kav groigris, we're talking about dried figs. In the case of the devela, we're talking about squeezed and pressed figs. You take dried figs and you press it into an igule dvela. Igule dvela means such a round thing. I think even today they go and sell figs as a round cake, as a round circle. So that's the minimum he has to give you, the cup of this or a mana of that. The im engloy, what happens if he doesn't have any figs? So then poisiklu musan, peiris mokamacher, so he can go and give a different type of fruit. He can go and give dates or oranges, apples, other types of things. Now, until now we spoke about food. Now we have to talk about other items. The husband is staying away a little bit longer than expected, and therefore the shalish has to supply her with mita, mapatz, or machzelis. Mita, of course, is bed. Mapatz and machzelis are two forms of mats. But these are not just mats that you walk on, also that you sleep on. And Rashi says that mapatz is softer material than machzelis. We're going to see the Gemara in Yetz Hashem shortly. In the good old days, they didn't have mattresses like we have today. And instead, they had the base of the bed, of course, was the bed frame from all four sides. And they had ropes that extended from one side to the other. And instead of putting on top of the ropes, a mattress, they would go and put on top of it, usually, Rashi says, on the Amid Aleph, an oyer, a nice, thick leather skin of an animal. But here we're talking about a situation where they didn't have such a skin to put over the ropes. To go and lie on the ropes would be very uncomfortable. So therefore he supplied the mappets machzelis, which is bimkoim, the mattress that you put on top of those ropes, so that she can sleep relatively comfortably. Benoisinot, in addition to that, he has to supply with a kippa l'raisha. A kippa, Rashi says, is a tsoiv, which is a tichel that women wear. he has to supply that to her. Rashi says, Nishana Lishana, at least once a year with a new tichel. Bachagor the Masneha. Bachagor means either a belt, some say it means an apron, because both belts and aprons are at the loins of an individual. Umenalayim and shoes, miboyit mimoyid lamoyid. 3 times a year for each one of the new Yovim Tayyimim. That's for Pesach, Sukkah, Shavuos. He has to go and supply the new shoes. The kelim shel chamishim zuz mishana lishana. The kelim that we're referring to are begodim, meaning clothes, worth at least 50 zuz from 1 year to the next. So on an annual basis, he has to go and buy for her the begodim. The ein noisna lo lechadosh v'imoisacham v'loishchokim v'imoisacham. So the Mishnah is now giving you very sage, logical advice. When you're buying new clothes, don't buy new clothes during the summer months, because new clothes are usually hard and stiff. Perhaps they spray some starch on them or something, so they're hard and stiff, and therefore during the summer they only become heavy on a person and make the person sweat. On the other hand, it would be great to have such hard fabric clothes during the winter, because you want as much insulation and protection against the cold. Now forget, if you're going and getting clothes for the lady, don't get her the thin, worn-out garments during the winter months. Those are the months to go and get the heavy-duty, thick garments. So therefore, be smart, go and give the thinner garments, the softer garments during the summer, and give the thicker, harder garments during the winter. And therefore, says the Mishnah, buy the new clothing winter time. So then by the time it comes out summer, they have already been worn throughout the winter. He discussed that with people. He says, she'll continue wearing them beyond winter into the summer. By that time, they'll have been worn several times, many times. So they will already be balois, already be worn out. They'll be thinner, be softer, it'll be easier. And that would be a great way of dealing with new clothing requirements. Even though each year he gives her brand new clothing of 50 zuz, however, whatever she wore from last year, which is still wearable, she keeps. She doesn't have to go and give it back to the husband or the shalish. She can keep wearing that for occasions, and the Gemara will explain more about that in Yetzer Shef. The Gemara is going to ask that it seems to be strange that this person is more concerned, our Mishnah is more concerned about buying shoes than buying clothing. People, l'choyre, could go and use the same pair of shoes and get new shoes twice, once a year or twice a year, and new dresses, new outfits, you presumably need more often. And therefore, why would the Mishnah be makbid get 3 pairs of shoes a year, but in terms of getting clothing, only once a year for the 50s. The Mar Mitchum will discuss that when we get to it on the Amid Beis. Noisin lo mo'a kesef litzorcha. We had this already about a week ago in our Mishnah, that one of the things that he's supposed to give her is the mo'a kesef. Mo'a kesef is a smaller denomination. We keep on talking about zuz and dinner. Every zuz or every dinner had in it 6 mo'a. So it's a smaller coin of kesef. Litzorcha, says Rashi, means lidvorm ktanim. For petty cash, for small little things, you give her an allocation, allowance of a mo'a kesef. And boichelus imam lele shabbos lele shabbos. Once the husband comes back on the scene, he has to make sure that he eats with her every single Friday night. And miyachem, we'll see in the Gemara, there's a play on words over here. Boichelus literally, of course, means eat, so that they have a suda shabbos. But the Gemara will say that it's also a euphemistic allusion to tashmish, because we've had this pasuk already quoted in the Gemara before, that it says a pasuk in Mishlei, ken derech isha min ha'efes, ochla. So the word achla is a very nice way of referring to bia of relations. So continuing on, v'im ein noisin lo mo'a kesef litzarcha, we just finished off, you have to give him mo'a kesef, he does it, then masi de'a shalom, and then she keeps her masi adai. This goes back to a gemara that we had about a week ago, where there was a machloikis, what is the quid pro quo? The two things that he has to give on his side, two things that she has to give on her side. On his side, he has to go and give the zaynis, and he has to give the mo'a kesef. And she, on her side, she has to go and give the masi adayim, and she has to give the moiser masi adayim. So the mazoik is there in the Gemara as to which one is connected, which is a quid pro quo. The poshet pshat in the Gemara there was Rabbi Shmuel, and said that the masi adayim are tachas the mezoinus, or the mezoinus tachas masi adayim, depends if you heard him called like a Funa or like Reish Lakish, which was the Iker Takana, was the Iker Takana the Mazoinis, and the backup Takana was the Masi Yadayim, or vice versa. We discussed that in the Gemara. Well, we're going to ask Yemina if she can go and say, Eini Mazoinis, the Eini Oisa. You remember we had this back in the test. Good. Anyway, couldn't them on the Yama, the Masi Yadayim, are not connected to the Morkes. It's connected to the Mazoinis. So when it says in our Mishnah, Morkesev, connected the Masi Yadayim, according to the Mandiyam, according to Rav and Shmuel, that hold the more kesef was keneged the moiser, you have to add a word here, moisim kesef letzorcha keneged, or the on behalf of the moiser masi yadayim. And this is not just a Gemara, it's a discernment test. In case we have forgotten, Rashi reminds us of this. If you look at the Rashi parallel to our Gemara, one line higher, masi yadayim ukmina on the el. Remember back when the Nachman test. You have to add the word Moiser according to that Mandi Yamar that holds that the Mor Kesef is for the Moiser. Moiser means in addition to the simple amount of Masi Yadayim. So now you want to know what is the simple amount and what is the Moiser. So we've had this already before, but now we have the Mishnah, the Makar, Mahi Oiser Loi. What is the minimum of Malacha that she has to produce on his behalf of Masi Yadayim? So says our Mishnah, Mishkal Chomesh Sloim Shesi Bihuda Shehen Eser Sloim. Big golem. Oi, Mishkal Osir, Eser Sloim, Eir of Yehuda, Shehain Eser Sloim, big golem. We're familiar with the term a Shesi V'erev. Shesi V'erev today is used as a Yiddish term referring to a cross. The reason why it's called a Shesi V'erev is because it has a vertical and it has a horizontal, or a warp and a woof in fancy weaving terms. And the Shesi is the vertical, that's the warp, and the Eirev is the horizontal, which is a woof, and the warp is thicker and therefore more difficult to go and spin and sew and to weave than the woof. These are thicker threads and these are thinner threads. And that's why the thinner threads, they go and rush back and forth with a shuttle in between the thicker threads to be able to go and make a beged, to go and make a garment.
The initial chassis of Arab is not selling. You're talking about
a cross.
A
getchka, right.
So they say chassis of Arab, they refer to not a T, or they're referring to it as a getchka.
They don't see it as a T because really the shtickle is sticking up. Anyway, that's the Yiddish colloquialism. They didn't want to go into those. They didn't want to say Yoshko. They didn't want to say them. They said that a Shesiv Erev, a cross. But you don't have to use that term. You know, you could be from Yid 120 and never use the term. It's no problem. But for purpose of our Mishnah, you have to use that term to know the difference between the Shesi and the Erev in terms of how much is her minimum standard of Masi Yadayim that she produces on behalf of her husband. So what is that? So we said, in Yehuda, we have over here two things. We have, number one, the Shesi and the Eidav, and we have Yehuda and Golem. In each case, there's a double involved. What do I mean, a double involved? In Yehuda, the weights were double the weights in Golem. So if you put, let's say, a one-pounder on a scale, you knew that in Yehuda, that's 1 pound. If you went to Golil, that 1 pound would be the equivalent of 2 pounds. Because in Yehuda, let's say, using what we're, I think, familiar with, that 16 ounces is a pound in America, in Yehuda. However, in Golil, it was 8 ounces was 1 pound. So if you wanted to have the equivalent of the Yehuda 1 pound, you had to have 2 pounds in Golil. When we talk about Siloim, we don't over here mean the value in terms of money, we're talking about the weight of a seller. Often it was the same. In other words, what dictated that a matbeya was called a seller? Because it was a seller in weight of kesef or of zohar. However, here we're not talking about the value, here we're talking about, in fact, the weight. So, in Yehuda, a lady that produced shesi, the warp threads, strands, which weighed a total of 5 siloim, that was the equivalent of 10 siloim in Golil. Or if she wasn't weaving and spinning and sewing that week, the shesi strands, but rather the Erev of strands. So that there was a mishkal eser siloim, orev Erev b'Yehuda, shein esem siloim b'Golil. And that would be double, because it was doubly difficult to go and spin those thinner threads. No, it's forget. The ones for shesi are doubly difficult, so therefore you only had to put together the weight of 5 siloim, the 8 of which are much easier. You have to go and do double the amount, therefore it would be 10 slaim, the weight of 10 slaim in Yehuda, which is 20 slaim in Gala. However, she gets a break. The Moisa Minika, what happens if she's doing double time, double duty, and that is she, Baruch Hashem, is nursing a child. So as a result, she's up half of the night and up half of the day, and therefore she doesn't have so many wakeful hours to be able to work so diligently. We give her a break, and we give her a bonus. We give her some extra food so that she should have enough milk to be able to go and nurse the baby and still have enough nutrients for her own body. Says, yeah, let's just finish the Mishnah, and then we'll hear some words of wisdom from our esteemed...
No guarantees.
Okay, well, based on Chazak. The Medvar Mamurim. All of these shiurim that we had in our Mishnah is Ba'ani Shabiso. If we're talking people that unfortunately are poor, so those are the minimum standards. Am Lechubit, if you're talking about it, Kavadika, Mishpocha, Ashirim, people of, this means fairly substantial means, they don't have to be Rockefellers or Reichmans, but they are of better standards. And when that Hakol Vikvoidai, then you have to give more, which would be the standard in that community, how much you normally would give for meals, etc. Yes, sir.
So we learned prior in the Mishnah that the wife is obligated to perform 7 different deeds
Correct.
For the husband.
Correct.
So if she's nursing, does she get off the hook from some of those deeds because her time is used?
You're talking about the other stuff as well?
Yes.
It's a very good question. There's a Tosis that deals with this in far more detail. I told you words of wisdom. If you want to look at the Tosis in Daf Nem Samach Gimel. Samach Gimel. That's Samach Gimel 63A. It's a choice that begins in the narrow lines and continues on to the broad lines. Do you have that? Okay. So, without going through the entire choices, but if you look at, let's say, the very first wide line down below, it says, if she says, "Eini nizoynis ve'eini oisel le'mefkas atzmo elam yasiyas tzemer shu ikr ma'isiyadeh," that's the ikr of the ma'asi daimis. The tzemer is the weaving, spinning, etc. Abashar malachus going to senes. I'm sorry, toichenes vo'oife and the vasheles and the chabeses. Those other things that we mentioned.
Wash
of them, and she has to continue those. Have a motzi shapir sovik ravuna, then he can hold like ravuna. That ravuna says, "Eini nizoynis ve'eini oisel b'chein mashik tzas b'kor liel." That's a set amount. That's a set amount of the 5 shefsi and the 10 of Eidav, etc. Umishar Malachas can go into Chenes, but if only Shaykh Kitzus, maybe you can't go and say a set amount that she has to go and cook this amount and bake that amount. But there you have a standard amount. Ava Ein Nira, Eliki Amma, Ein Inzoyne Vein. So you said, Peturim, we call Zayin Malachas, Chi Avdeshar Malachas, Poichsulam Yasi Etzemer. Just because she's doing other Malachas, they don't say that we go and reduce from the Tzemer Malachas. And then he says, "Kitnami Masisin." Our Mishnah, which we Arios is talking about, the Poisim Meinekas Poisim Masidah, the Niradu Adin Tichenes VaOifer. Then, in fact, not only the Meinika reduces the 5 and 10 Shesed Eidav, but also Adin Tichenes VaOifer. That if she does a lot of grinding of wheat that week and she's doing a lot of baking, that would also allow her to get a
discount,
a discount and a credit against the amount of weaving and spinning and so on. I want to knock him in neck because we should be hiring the mission. We should hire Yadei Shalish, and he has to go and give her extra. Anyway, Ayin Shem, the Toysin discusses these very issues about whether you get credits and you get discounts based on Menekes or other things for the Tzemer, etc. Good. Back to our Gemara. Now, the next few lines, as you'll see, is really for those that are mathematically inclined, but I've found in the past that all of us are, Baruch Hashem, so there should be no difficulty. So we started off the Mishnah that the minimum you have to give is 2 kaven chitim. We're not going to focus on tzoyrim now, just on the chitim. 2 kaven of chitim. Kaven, as you know, is a measure of volume. Exactly how large a kav is the equivalent of 24 eggs. So we don't mean that we're talking about eggs, we're talking about, of course, chitim. We're talking about volume. So think of 2 dozen eggs. That's the amount of chitim that you have to supply her with on a weekly basis. Mani masisin. Who's the Tana Bar Mishnah? Loi Reb Yechim Abroika, Veloi Reb Shim. Didnah. The Kamashi Urai. Now this shiur that we're talking about has nothing to do with our Mishnah. Rather, we're talking about the din of any Ruvei Tchumen. As you know, a person is allowed to go and walk a tchum until $2,000. But what happens if he heard that the chief rabbi of Kishkin Halish is visiting and he's going to give a drusha in Niritaz or in Debrecen, and you want to go and hear that drusha the next morning? So what do? You go and put away the roof of tchumim to be able to continue walking an additional 2,000 amis in that direction. And not only do you want to hear the drusha, but he is such a wonderful orator that you have another 10 people in your family and your friends that also want to hear that beautiful drusha the next morning on Shabbos. So, what do? You have to put out you have to put out the equivalent of two meals for each one of the people that want to travel the next morning, to walk the next morning to that drusha. How much do you have to travel? So we're going to have a four-way, how much travel? How much do you have to put away? We have a four-way machlekes. The first two is Remei and Rabbi Yehuda that don't really give us specifics, they just give us concepts. And that is, mazoyne lechoyl v'loy l'shabbos, the equivalent of two weekday meals as opposed to two Shabbos meals, divrei Remei. Rabbi Yehuda omer l'shabbos v'loy l'choyl, Shabbos meals and not weekday meals. V'zeh v'zeh miskavnin l'hokar. Both of them have the same objective, and that is that you can go and put away smaller seudos rather than larger seudos. Now, we all know a seuda could be a nice seven-course meal when you sit down at like a royal feast, and also a meal could be when you happen to be on an airline and they give you something that they call a meal, which is really more like a half a sandwich or something, a kleinika. So the question is, which seudos are we talking about? And both of them are talking about the smaller size, because we don't want to be matriach on the person to have to put a huge eruvit chumen for purposes of being able to walk the next morning. So the chumen will make two small seudos. Slowly, everybody, don't jump. So now the question is, why does Rav Meir say that the mezoyne lechoyl is less than l'shabbos? And Rav Yehuda says l'shabbos and loy lechoyl. So Rashi explains that Rav Meir, let's take a look at the Rashi directly. I don't have to type the Rashi. Rashi is parallel to Agamai. Miskav and Lahak. Remeir ho yerogel lecho pas b'Shabbos. Yoisim b'chol. At the Shabbos meals, he ate more pas, more challah. So yemamshich pas lechol minim haboim lefan. He would eat a piece of challah and he would dip it into the fish sauce. And then he would go and put it with the 28 different varieties of dips that they have nowadays that they put on the tables, a little bit of the hummus, and a little bit of tchina, and a little bit of that green stuff, and a little bit of the etc., etc. So he ate a lot of challah. And then when he had the soup, put a couple of pieces of challah in the soup. And then when he came to a piece of meat, he ate it together with that. So he ate a lot of challah. However, during the week, they didn't give out fish and all the dips and all the other stuff. So therefore, he ate a smaller amount of challah. And that's why Rav Meir says when you're computing the amount of chitim that you need, not for our Mishnah, but for purposes of the Yeruv Techumen, go and base it on the amount of challah or bread that I eat during the week, which is far less than I eat on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, why should I stuff myself with challah? Is such delicious fish, and there's going to be soup with knedlach, and then there's going to be delicious chicken and roast beef, and together with a piece of kugel, and etc., etc. Why should I stuff myself with challah? So therefore, he ate less challah on Shabbos than he did during the week. And therefore, he said, you can go and put down the amount that I eat on Shabbos instead of the amount of chol. And that's why he says in the Mishnah, zev zem miskav lehokel, each one is trying to give you a smaller shear for the purpose of eruv tchum. That is fascinating, and that's beautiful. Nothing to do with our Gemara. Anybody want to jump up with a question now, or we're open?
Why is it about the sudos if it's talking about pas? If it's talking about pas, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Meir, sudos is more than just pas. It sounds like it's also the kugel and the fish and the dips.
Where do you think this mission appears?
In the
Erevin. Over there, there's a large discussion about red and challah equivalents or substitutes. In fact, it says over there that those people that like to have the great dips, they can put the dips and don't need to have the challah. You can put the pickles there instead. There are a whole Mishnayos and Gemaras that deal with the different types of foods that you can use for tchum. Ariel, you're still in your trouble. You're still puzzled with something?
That's very strange. Hopefully not too much longer.
Okay.
So Rav Meir says, as far as the Eruv, you put aside the lesser, but on Shabbos you're supposed to eat more. So if the food you're setting apart for the Eruv is for Shabbos, why should you put the amount you eat during the week?
Excellent question. So the answer is, a truvah tchumen is not really intended for people to eat. It's really only intended to be a place mark to say that's my residence on Shabbos, because you're allowed to go and go 2,000 amos. By saying that I'm putting away my truvah tchumen there, it's as if I'm saying I temporarily, this Shabbos, no longer live on West End Avenue and 91st Street. I live now in the middle of the forest between Niritaz and Kishken Halash. Those two happen to be much further away. But Niritaz and Debrecen were twin cities, just like Dallas-Fort Worth and Minneapolis-St. Paul. So in the middle of the two cities, I wanted to go to the other city for Shabbos morning, so they would put that in the middle of the forest. Nobody was expected on Friday night to go out there and start singing Zmiris and start eating from the Erev that was just placed there, so that would be his symbolic residence over Shabbos. So now, for that symbolism, how much did you need?
Right.
You needed a minimal amount, not a huge amount. Okay? Anyway, we're getting off the tangent. Let's get back to our Mishnah now. We continue on, Vayta, how much do you need for an Erev? And now we're going to give specific amounts. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broich Oimer, Kikar HaLekuch B'Punjoin Me'arbis So'in L'Selam. Or Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Shtei Yodis L'Kikar Misholish Kikris L'Kaf. So this is where I told you we're going to get a little bit into mathematics. But it's not difficult to voice that. We just have to go and put on our thinking caps, and hopefully we will be able to meet the challenge together. So, Rav Yochanan ben Broich says, for the entire Shabbos, for the two meals, you need one kikar. A kikar is a loaf of bread, or in this case, a large challah. Now, how large is that challah? If you've ever been to a bakery, you know you can get a small bukala, and then you can get a small size challah, and a medium size, and a large size. And if you go to a big fancy chasana, you can get a challah that's for 100 people. So the question is, how large a challah? Yeah, you're with me so far?
I am.
Baruch Hashem. So kikar, halukuch mit punjoin, that you can go and purchase for a punjoin. Now, how much is a punjoin? So you all know from when we were learning the Bavis that there are different denominations in the currency. Not that different from us, that we have a dollar and a 50-cent piece, and you get a quarter, and you get a dime, a nickel, a penny. So, we have the same thing when it comes to the various denominations which are cited by Chazal. The easy mnemonic that we all are familiar with is Doivev Ches. Doivev Ches means you start with a sela or a shekel, and then you go to Dalet stands for 4 dinrim, the Vav stands for 6 ma'ah, the Bey stands for 2 punjoinim, the next Bey stands for 2 isrim, and then the Ches stands for 8 prutas. So if you started off with your large shekel, your large sela, then if you gave it to the banker, you gave it to the tzedakah guy, or whoever is changing the money for you, you go and give him your sela, he would go and give you 4 dinar. For every dinar, you can go and get 6 ma'ah. For every ma'ah, you can go and get 2 punjoinim. We don't need to talk about Isser and the prutos because we don't go into that today for our gemara. So, it's a kikar that you can go and buy with 1 punjoin. 1 punjoin, you get a whole kikar. Now, okay, but I still don't know how large the kikar is. I know that I am paying a punjoin. Now, how much exactly is a punjoin? A punjoin is 1/48 of a sela. How do I know? Because we just went through that. That a sela has in it doivev, 4 dinrim. Every dinner has 6 more. 4 times 6 is 24. Right? Everybody agrees? And since every more has in it 2 punjoinim, 24 times 2 gets you to
48.
Oh, so every single shekel has it in 48 punjoinim. Right? Everybody agrees?
But they didn't have just a standardized key card, meaning like a loaf?
Most people paid with credit cards. However, if they didn't have a credit card, they'd have to go and pay cash, and they'd have to take out a punjoin to buy a key.
No, I'm saying key card. Wasn't there like
wasn't
a standard? Right, a standardized like key card.
There were numerous standard sizes, the small size, the medium size, and the big size. The key card that we're talking about is the punjoin size.
Punjoin key card.
The punjoin key card, exactly. Good, so that's the first aspect of the math here. But now, how large is a kikar? We still don't know. Is that the small, the medium, or the large, or the extra large? So that's mi'arbis soim l'sela. You can go and get such a kikar for a punjoin when you pay one sela for 4 so'ah of wheat. Okay, so now, how much is a... So we spoke about, so far, the denominations. Now we're going to talk about the volumes and the quantities. Every single saw has in it
6
kavan, and if you have therefore 4 saw, how many kavan do you have altogether?
24.
24. Does everybody agree? 6 times 4 is 24. 24 kavan to a seller. And that means 24 kavin to 48 punjoinim, because we said that a seller has in it 48 punjoinim. So if you are now purchasing 24 kavin for 48 punjoinim, how many punjoins do you need for one kav?
Two.
Two punjoin each one kav. Four would be two, and six would be three, and so on and so forth. 48 would equal 24. Right? So you have two punjoinim to go and buy one kav. By definition, therefore, if you only have one punjoin, how much are you buying?
Half a kav.
You're buying only a half a kav, right? Because if two punjoinim is one kav, one punjoin is a half a kav. And so therefore, what Rabbi Yochanan Lebroich is telling us is that the kikar was the size of a half a kav. That's how large. The volume was a half a kav. How did we get to a half a kav? Again, because you bought it for a punjoin. How much can a punjoin buy? 1/48 of a seller. A full seller, you can buy four soin, which is 24 kavin. So 48 punjoinim, you buy 24 kavin. Two punjoinim per kav. One punjoin is a half a kav. So therefore, the kikar that we're talking about is a half of a kav. How many meals does one kikar of a half a kav supply? We started off the Mishnah. Kamishurai mazin shtei sudais. So this kikar of a half a kav supplies two meals. Half a kav equals two meals. Let me ask you, if a half a kav is two meals, how much is a whole kav equal to?
Four
meals. Ari, I'm so happy that you're with us today. Four meals. Now, what happens if you have two kavin? This is really
16,
difficult.
16, that's the...
No, you don't get 16. You're jumping, my friend. You said a half a kav is two meals. A whole kav is
four
meals. What happens if you have two kavin? Two times four is roughly?
Eight.
Eight meals. You got it. You are the winner. Eight meals. We got a problem, however. We started off the Mishnah, we said you give the young lady for a whole week two kavin. Two kavin, that means, we said that's eight meals. Can you eat
14.
Eight meals? You need at least 14 meals. Why is it shtim?
Because one is eight meals, the other is 14.
You
what's
got
going
it.
On?
He's learning Yiddish. Exactly right. The truth of the matter is, we'll see towards the end of the Gemara, we actually have to add one more. That's because in Shabbos you have to have Shabbos Shidus, you have to have three meals. But you're right, let's talk about Chol, 7 times 2 is 14, we only have 8. So this is not my kasha, this is the Gemara's kasha, King Gol couldn't be a Chimabroik. To see that that's what we mean, skip two lines, we're going to come back to the rest in a moment. Mani, Irab Yoichim Embroik, Tamni Havyan. Tamni in Aramaic means 8 meals. So 2 kavin is 8, and I need 14, or 15, as we just said. So that's, it cannot go contra Bichim Embroik. Now let's go over to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon is slightly more complicated, but nisht gefährlich. Reb Shimon Oymer, shtei yodois lekikar. For purposes of the Eder for the two meals, you don't need the entire kikar. Shtei yodois means two-thirds of the kikar is enough for two meals. One kikar is enough for three meals. Shtei yodois means two-thirds of that kikar is enough for the two meals. And how do I measure the size of this kikar? Misholish kikreis lekav. Each one of the kikars that we're talking about, there are three loaves to a kav, which means that each loaf itself is one-third of a kav. One-third of a kav. And of that one-third, I only need two-thirds of the one-third for the two meals. Right? It's pretty straightforward. So now, let's figure this out on a very, very simple level. If we're saying that two-thirds of a kikar are two meals, Ariel, help us out, because you were a tremendous help on the previous Mishmaynus. If two-thirds of a kikar are good for two meals, how many thirds of a kikar do you think you need for three meals?
When you're dealing with fries, I don't do fries.
I have the same
problem.
Three-thirds.
Three-thirds, one cup.
If two-thirds equal two meals, that means one-third is one meal, two-thirds is two meals, and three-thirds is three meals, which means a whole kikar, three meals. No, Baruch Hashem. Right? Are you in agreement with us? Good. So we have now one kikar is three meals. And each one of those kikrois was one-third of a kav, which means that if I had three kikrois, I have a full kav. And each kikar supplies three meals.
So nine.
Nine, exactly right. So one kav equals 9 meals. Because one kav is 3 loaves. Each loaf is 3 meals. 3 times 3 is 9. So one kav is 9. Now the kasha is, we said in the Mishnah,
says 2, so that's 18 meals. So
and how many do we need? We only need
14
meals.
Or
15, right? So if you look now at the next few words in the same Gemara, again, we skip 2-3 lines. The Reb Shimon, Tam Nisri Havyon, there 18 meals. So we need 14, or parenthetically 15. Yeah, the Kunda Birchon Broika, they only have 8 meals. According to Reb Shimon, we have in 2 Kavim, we have 18 meals. So therefore the Mishnah doesn't shtim either like...
Big discrepancy.
Can't shtim neither like Reb Shimon, Reb Yochim Mabraika, nor like Reb Shimon. That's the Gemara's kasha.
Yeah.
Now before we get to the kasha, we have to continue and just finish off the same Bryce that we were just quoting. What is the Bryce to continue on? Actually, it's Mishnah, sorry, in Mesechta's Erev. So we continue on and we're saying, that's vis-a-vis the Erev. Now Chetzia, half of what we were talking about, is Ladeis Habenuga. Chatzi chatzia lifsal es agvia, v'chatzi chatzi chatzia the kabel tumas v'chle. What does that mean? Beis Habenuga means if you go into a house where unfortunately there is tsaras batim, that means on the walls there happens to be these, what we call leprosy, but it's really a nega tsaras, and the koyin comes and he says, it looks bad, chevra, take everything out of the house, shnell, because we don't want the Torah was machbid on even small items. Torah says, you know, don't waste. Exactly, chasam money shu. That's the expression. Chasam money shu Israel. And we're talking about, says Rashi, about not here Rashi, but Rashi in Chumash. We're talking about kli cheres, because if you're talking about kli eitz, or you're talking about kli matchas, you can toivel those, so you don't have to be chasam. But kli cheres, you're going to have to go. You're going to have to go and throw them out. You're going to have to break them. And sorry, bazai. Those are much cheaper kalim, but. Torah says, penny saved is a penny earned. The modern generation doesn't know that. But anyway, continuing on, back to the Gemara. So now, chetzia, half of that. Now, Rashi says half of that means half of the kav that we wish, not half the kav, half of the kikar. Till now we spoke about a full kikar. Now we're talking half of the kikar for the Beis Hamanuga. If a person finds himself inside the Beis Hamanuga, when does he become tamei? So the Torah uses an expression, the oichel babayis yichabis is begodav. And Chazal Darshan, he doesn't actually have to physically eat in the bayis, but he has to be shohar, he has to stick around in the bayis long enough to go and eat a shir achila. How much is that shir achila? Gemara elsewhere says, an achilas pras. Pras means half. Here, the half means half of the kikar that we were speaking about a moment ago. Yes?
2 to 9 minutes.
Good. So that's approximately the amount of time. But we're focusing on the kikrois and the kavin. We're going to get back to this in a moment. So half of that shear that we need of Veruv Techumen, we're going to use for the Beis HaManuka. V'chatzi chetzia lifsalis agvia. What does that mean? There's a din drabonon that a koyin, for instance, has to be very careful not to eat dvorim tamei. Now normally a dvorim tamei, such as a food item, oichlun mashkin can't be metamei odom v'keil. However, midrabonon, the rabbis were concerned that if a koyin, for instance, is going to eat or drink something which is tameh, which is not mitameh him minotayim, but he may be forgetful, and at the same time, or a minute later, he's going to put a piece of truma or truma wine in his mouth, where there might be some residue in his palate, in his mouth, and now you're going to have the tumah mixing together with the truma, and it's going to be mitameh the truma. And therefore they said, stay away from tamei dika oichlin if you happen to be a koyin. And if you eat such a tamei dika oichlin, you become tamei midrabat. Now, how much oichlin are we talking about? That's already the chatzi chetzia. This is already a quarter of the loaf. Before we were talking about achilas pras, is a chutzi achilas pras. That's gvia means the body. It passes the body that the koyin now becomes tamei. And finally, chatzi chetzia lekabel tumas oichlin. Half of that is for tumas oichlin, which means that if I have two oichlin, one happens to be tamei and the other is not tamei, how do you transmit tuma from one oichel to the other? If one of the oichlin happens to be the shear of a kibeya, that's the chatzi chatzi chetzia, it can go be the tamei to the other. Whether or not you need that both the transmitter and the recipient both be a shear of a kibeya, or perhaps only the transmitter needs to be a kibeya, that's a famous machlokes Rashi and Tosfos throughout Shas, but that's not today's topic. Anyway, what are these in practical terms? Chetzia, chatzia, 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 chatzia. So going with Reb Shimon's svara, and we're talking about that a kikar has in it, not talking about kikar, let's talk about a kav. A kav has 24 bayim. Every kav has in it 24 bayim. How do you get to 24 bayim? Because it has four lugin, and each lug has six bayim. So 4 times 6, you get to 24. Good. So now, we started off with our kikar, and the kikar, we said, has in it 8 bayim. Was it 8 bayim? Kikar shel gimel lekav, gimel bayim. Yeah, since, according to Reb Shimon, a kikar is 1/3 of a kav, right? That's what Reb Shimon said, right? Sholish kikars lekav. So if it's 1/3 of a kav, and a kav has in it 24 bayim, that means that each kikar is 8 bayim. So now if we take half of that lebeis hamenuga, half of 8 gets us to 4. Chatzi chatzia lifts of gviya, that gets us from 4 down to 2. And chatzi chatzi chatzia takes us down from 2 to 1. And that's why throughout Shas, he always talks about that tumas oichon is a shir kebeya, based on this Mishnah that we just did. Good. But again, we've gotten off the topic. Let's get back to us. In our Mishnah, you have to supply the lady with 2 kav and chitin. Ah, you couldn't brichin broika. It's 8. In other words, that the 2 kaven produce 8 meals. According to Reb Shimon, it produces 18 meals. Anthony Mark, Oilin Rabbi Yechim Abraik, Ukle Omer Rav Chizda, like Rav Chizda said, Tzei mehen shlish lechem vini, Lachanami Aisi Tiltze Shodi Al Ayu. What does the Gemara mean with that? The Gemara means to say is that there's a difference between wholesale prices and retail prices. And the difference between the wholesale and the retail is the profit margin of the chenveni or of the baker. Because after all, if the chenveni goes and buys a certain amount of chitim, arba soim, the seller, and he's going to go and sell kikrois based on that same formula of arba soim, the seller, he's not going to make any money. After all, he takes the original raw wheat, he has to grind it and crush it and make it into flour, and then he has to go and buy the fuel to fuel up the oven, the furnace, and he has to go and spend all the time forming it and kneading it, and then the fuel, the overhead expense, that's a lot of money. So therefore, the arbis on the seller, what we're referring to is how much the chenveni bought it for. However, when I am buying it, I am buying after the chenveni has already cut some of the soin of the wheat, and he's left it for himself. In other words, he baked a few loaves, and one loaf he holds back for himself, and he gives you a loaf, or whatever your the commission is, whatever his profit margin is. Rav Chizda said the profit margin of a chenveni is 1/3. Really, when we say 1/3, that's 1/3 after everything is said and done. We get back into the milagav milabar dichotomy, when we talk about from time to time in Chazal. It's really a 50% amount. In other words, the Mishnah, not the Mishnah, the Mishnah Maseches Eidavim, when it says that you get arba soin lesela, that really means that the wholesale price that the chenveni paid for it, for the raw wheat, that was 4 soin lesela. However, when he sells you the kikar, he is selling it to taka the punyoin, but it has less in it than the arba soin lesela, because he takes a 50% profit margin. It's not really total profit, it's for his labor and for his overhead expense and all the rest. So therefore, it's 50%. I'm sorry.
Cost of goods, the
rent for his shop, for his bakery, and the payroll, and the lighting, and all the rest, and the mortgage, and the taxes. The ganze getting nicer. Okay. So therefore, what does all of that mean? So therefore, what it means is that since he has a 50% profit margin baked into the chalas and into his in this baked here, that's an intentional term over here. The roof. I have a few to check. So the profit margin. So because it's 50% more, he has given for this kav. We said that just for the 2 kaven, you would get 8 meals. Actually, since the lady is getting the raw materials, the chitin, she's not going to have to go and share her profit margin with anything. She's going to keep it for herself. So how much is that going to add up to? So if you do another 50% on 8 chalas, or not 8 chalas, 8 meals, so 50%, how much is half of 8?
4.
So if we add another 4 to the 8, we get 12 altogether. And the reason why the Gemara refers to that is a shlish, because it's shlish malabar. Since you end up with 12 meals, 1/3 of 12 is 4, so we added 4 to the 8, which is really 50% of the original 8. So 4 plus the 8 gives you 12. So bottom line is, says the Gemara, Baruch Hashem, if you give a lady to Kavan of Chitim, she will be able to produce not 8 meals, but 12 meals. Oh, we're getting much closer to the 14. We're still short. We only have 12. Says Imora, oh, but you remember at the end of the mission says, make sure that the husband is home on Friday nights to go and eat with his wife. No, then he's going to go and bring food along with him. That's besides the Sholish leaving food. So now we already have a 13th meal, Baruch Hashem. We're still not at 14, certainly not at 15. But at least we're getting as close as we can to come to the end of this rhyme or riddle. So, Zukti Yomara, Eichelis Yomara Leil Shabbos. Zukti Mohani Yichel Mandi Yom Achil Mamish. We're going to have a discussion later on in the Gemara where the word Eichelis means literally eating. Oh, so he brings along another meal. We have now 13 meals. Elman Yom Achil, Tashmish. The word Achil is being used as a euphemistic term, as a Dover Noki referring to Tashmish. So Michael Mamis, he doesn't bring any meals along. So she still has to make up the meals from the two kavan. But there are only 12 meals and we need 14. The Oid, even if you say according to the Mandiyam that it means Achila Mamish, we're still at 13 and we need 14. Okay, says Rav Chizda, it was Rav Chizda before that said a third. Now we have Rav Chizda that says you have to go and add a half. Half meaning really double the amount. Meaning that when the baker gets the wholesale price, he buys the arbisoin, when he resells it, he doesn't take a 50% profit margin, he's really taking 100% profit margin. And therefore, when he produces the kikrois, which he sells for a punjoin, he's really leaving half of the rest of it for himself. And therefore, until now we spoke about that two kavan, initially we said, produce 8 meals. It's really, it produces 16 meals. 2 times 8. So why does the Gemara use the expression of palga? Because if you add 8 to 8, you get 16. The additional 8 is half of the final 16. So really what we mean is that he takes a 100% profit margin, and therefore, although he paid for it originally, arbisoin lesela, when he gives you the kikar lekoch bepunjoin, it's really half of the amount that we thought initially, because of the fact that he kept half for himself. But when we're giving it to the lady, she is the baker. She's the one that's the ofa, the tochen is the ofa, and all the rest. So therefore, she gets 16 meals altogether from the two kavim. So that's so far great, but we got 2 extra meals. So we're going to talk about that in another moment. But before we get to that, don't we have a steer of Chizan of Chizan? Of Chizan said before, same hint, Shlish Lechemveni. Lechemveni has the 50% profit margin, which is the third. And here we're saying 100% profit margin, which is a half. So for Eitimara, I understand it's not a steer of Chizan of Chizan. In some places, when a customer came in and he wanted to have the baker bake on his behalf a challah, a loaf of bread, etc., some places the baker would say, but I have no firewood to go and light up the oven. No problem. I have firewood. Here's the firewood. In such a case, since the overhead expense is being paid partially by the customer, then there was only a markup of the 50%. On the other hand, if the customer says, well, I'm sorry, you know, I'm not in the firewood business. I didn't bring any along. No problem. I'll buy my own firewood. Then he goes and takes a larger cut. He takes the 100% margin. So therefore, the two Rav Chizdas are not contradictory. It really depends on the deal or the minika mokai, where the people supplied the overhead expense of the fuel or not. Well, thank you, Mara, but let's get back to Arkashi Yochi Shitzri Havian. You just said now that the 8 has grown into 16, and we only need 14. We all know about Shalashidas. This is really a mitzvah of Arbasidas. Oh, then it's fine, because throughout the week, 6 days a week, 2 meals a day, 6 times 2 is 12. Shabbos, you need 4 meals, 12 and 4, you get to 16. The arithmetic works out perfect. Sorry?
What's the fourth meal in Shabbos?
That's the big kiddush that people get sometimes after, and sometimes the offer rolls. Then you can have 4 meals. We, of course, don't follow that. We eat 3 meals, but there's some people that are machmeh, they get kiddush more than all the other 3 meals combined. You can see the amounts of chulent and kugel which are consumed. Give up. Anyway, but couldn't Reb Chidka yet have 4 meals? So 4 plus 12 is 16. So the Chayra have a raya from the Mishnah Masechtas Erevin that Reb Yochanan ben Broika holds like Reb Chidka. No, that's the same Rabbanim. Go couldn't Rabbanim also. since people always have guests at home for Shabbos. So then, really and truly, you only need 15 meals. 12, 6 days a week, 6 times 2 is 12. Shabbos, you need Shabbos Shidus, is 15. But since you're expecting guests, then you have to have another extra meal to take care of the guests. And that's why you have to have 16 altogether. Says Imara, have to also l'hachi, once you're coming on to the guests as part of your formula, I feel like Reb Shimon and go according to Reb Shimon as well. And remember, what was the problem with Reb Shimon? Reb Shimon said, 18. You have to have 18 altogether. And in our Mishnah, we said you only have 14. So if you want, you can go according to Reb Shimon. L'rabbonon, dal tlas li'orchi uparchi. L'Reb Chidka, dal tarti li'orchi uparchi. What does Imar mean to say? Since we've established that at a minimum, according to the Rabbonon, it's not that we need 14 meals, we need 15 meals. Aye, but according to Reb Shimon, the two kavan are going to produce 18 meals. Reb Shimon was a very generous individual, and he figured people are going to have guests for 3 meals. I have to have 3 extra meals. 15 for his own needs, for the lady and for the household, and 3 more of the archi parchi, which are the visitors and the guests. According to Reb Chidka, since Reb Chidka holds that you need the chetchila, 16 meals, 12 plus 4, but I have 18 meals, the extra 2 will be for the guests and for the visitors. So that's, therefore our Mishnah can go both according to Ichtim's Ariel, both according to Yerichim Abraika, as well as according to Reb Shimon, and now we continue on. The good news is that from here to the end of the Gemara, Baruch Hashem, it's far less challenging. It says in our Mishnah that 2 Kavan Achitin or 4 Kavan Sa'irin, Rabbi Yossi said, oh, but they only give Sa'irin by Rabbi Shmuel, who lived close to Edrei. They only eat barley in Edrem. You don't eat barley throughout the world. But the Gemara says, of course, people eat throughout the world barley. It's not considered to be as beautiful a grain as chitin, but of course people eat barley. However, this statement of the Mishnah, that you have 2 kavan of chitim and double the amount of kavan of sa'irim, that's only in Edrim. Because the quality of the barley in Edrim was so poor that to make up for 1 kav of chitim, you had to have 2 kavan of sa'irim. But if you weren't in Edrim, you were a chvais, an amoin, or moyev, or bovel, or wherever you were, typically perhaps it would only be 1.5 kavan of sa'irim per kav of chitim, and not 2 kavan of sa'irim. It's only in Edrei where Rabbi Shmuel lived, or he lived near there. That's why he said that the shear would be double, because it was inferior quality. Now, throughout this whole list of, you had the kidneys, and you had the wine, and you had the figs, not the wine, you had the shemen, you had the oil and the figs, but we didn't mention anything about wine. Why doesn't it say wine? You should not go and offer wine to ladies, as we'll see, who are not married. What's the reason why? We'll see in a moment. Or in fact, we can look at the top Rashi, who tells us, if a woman goes and drinks too much wine, she can come a little bit oozy and all the rest, and therefore she has a craving for tashmish. Not a good idea to give her yayin. Doesn't it say in the Pasuk, that this pasuk says that the woman says that my lover, presumably her husband, is supplying her with lechem and meitzemer and pishton and shemen and shikuya. Shikuya is usually translated as mashke. From the shikuya comes the word mashke, and mashke means over here wine. And therefore, so you see that one does supply wine to a lady. Why are you telling me you don't? So the more dvarim sheisha mishtokekas aleihem, that the word shikuya here doesn't mean mashke, but it means mishtokek. Mishtokek means to have a desire or a craving, and therefore the havai, the one her lover is going to supply her with things that she really loves. She doesn't love the wine. What she really loves is a maininu tachshiten, which are either ornaments such as jewelry, or sometimes it refers to cosmetics. Diamonds are a lady's best friend. Yeah, we know all about them. Fine. So to more about Darish of Yehuda ish kfar neviraya. The amrila ish kfar nevor chayim. Minayin she'in poiskin yenis lisha. How do you know that you're not supposed to go and give wine to the ladies? Shenemar v'tokim chana achrei ochla b'shiloi v'achrei shosoi. Now this is talking about a meal that Chana was eating together with her husband Elkanah, and it says that she got up after she finished eating and after drinking. Now the Gemara says that if we were to use a nekeva form, just like ochla, we should go and say shosos, shasai v'loy shasas. It says shasai. And therefore that suggests that Elkanah was the one that was drinking and not her. So we see from that that he didn't give her to go and drink. Why not? Because you don't go and give yenois, you don't give yayin to the ladies, for the reasons that Rashi gave before. Are you going to go and say that just like we are being madaik, that she ate but didn't drink, are we going to go and say that Elkanah only drank and didn't eat? Is that what you want to go and learn? After all, if they're sitting together at a meal, she does all the eating, he does all the drinking. That doesn't sound right. We are referring to the textual difference. After all, we were talking about her. We were saying that she was eating and drinking, etc. The Asi. My time is Shani. Why would the Pasik say about her, Achla, Belosh in the cave, and then Shasai, which is referring to a masculine form, referring to her husband? We're talking about her eating. Shemamina Shasai, Belosh Shasai. Come to tell you that he was the drinker, she was not the drinker. But as far as his eating, we're not excluding that. We're just focusing on Chana was at a meal, she was eating, but she didn't drink. What did Elkanah do? He was the drinker, but he probably ate too. That we're not being medayik, because we weren't talking about him, we were talking about her. Frank Dimora Meisbe. You just told me now you don't give yayin to the isha. Frank Dimora, we have in the braisa. Regila, if she normally drinks, in other words, she is a rogel in drinking, then nois den la, then you would give. Oh, so you see, you do give to women to drink, and you said a moment ago, ain't poiskin yenis lisha. So Dimora, regila shiny. After all, if she's a rogel, then you don't have to worry about that she's going to drink the wine. She's going to become a little bit oozy, and then have a tavis tashmish. She's used to drinking. If she is a rogel, she drinks wine from time to time, then you can go and offer her one kais, and you don't have to worry. She ain't a regila. If she's not rogel, you give it two. That's crazy. My comma, what are you talking about? It's upside down. Regila. If it's bifnei bala, if she's together in the accompaniment of her husband, then you give shnei kaisis, because you don't have to worry about the type of stashmish. Her husband is there. Good. Shalim bifnei bala. However, if she's on her own, noisla kais echad, then you only give her one kais, because you're worried about the type of stashmish, like Rashi said. However, ain't a regular, if she doesn't normally drink at all, bifnei bala, ela kais echad, then if her husband is present, then give her one. Her husband is not around. And you guys look, kolikar zero, like we said at the top of the Mishnah, at the top of the Yomid, ain't placing in the Isha if she's on her own. V'yibay yisayim, or another pshat. Regila noisen la letziki kedeira. Oh, if she's a ruggle to go and drink wine, we go and give her wine, not for drinking purposes, but to go and season the roast or the fish. You go and add wine like some of the women do when they're seasoning the foods. Timbavo of Rabbi Yochanan, ma'is bekalosei shal nakdimen men goryan. Remember, Nachum Ben Gurion was famed to be a very, very wealthy individual. But it's not part of that same Gemara. What does it say about Nachum Ben Gurion?
He was the one who did he had the bet about the water.
He had the
loan. The loan was due by a certain date, and it was already dark, and the guy came to collect the loan, and then the sun broke out, and he was saved.
First it poured. And then the rich man said, okay, it's true you paid me back all of my water. However, it's already after this month. It's dark outside. So the Gemara says that he was spout to Rabbeinu Shem, show that you have ahuvim bi'olamcha, that you have those that you love here on this earth. And boom, then the sun came out once again, even though it was already late at night. And therefore the Gemara says, three people, Nakdimen lo yichama. One was Moshe, one was Yeshua, and one Nakdimen Gurion. And that's how he got the name Nakdimen, because the Baruch Hu was makdim the sun out of its regular place. More in Tanis. Moshe, because it says in the pasuk, Ochel teis pachtecha. We learn Ochel exer shavu from Yeshua. Just like by Yeshua, it says Eimek ayoloin, right? So here too, this is Ochel, and this is Ochel. We learn exer shavu. The more in Sechus Tanis. If you want, we can look it up afterwards. Anyway, the Gemara says Vaita. So this was the daughter of, not the daughter, the daughter-in-law of Nakdim and Gurion. Nakdim and Gurion apparently had gone away, and therefore we need to go and supply her with mezonos and other stuff. So Paskalu Chachamim, they said that she should get a sasayim of yayin, two sa'ah, which is a large quantity of wine, letzikik deira, me Erev Shabbos, for the Friday nights, in other words, from week to week, that's how much we gave her. Amra lehen, so she responded to them and said, Kach tifsiku livnoisechem. That's not exactly clear what her intent was, but apparently most of the Mefarshim learned that this was meant not as a bracha. She felt that because she was in a position of wealth in the household of Tanakhim and Gorim, they should have given her much more. She said, for you guys, that's how much your daughters should get. Meaning, she was saying it in the Lashon of a Kalala, that for your daughters, that's enough. But for me, I need much more than that. Anyway, they would have said Amen, because for that, it was a very large quantity. For her, you know, everything is relative in life, right? So Einstein's theory of relativity. For vis-a-vis the Kala of Nagim Ben Gurion, this is Shvacha Maisis, was small. But for them, that would be a tremendous bracha, alavai. And they could have or would have said Amen. But the reason why they didn't, says Tana Shemeres Yavam Hoysa, she, the Kala of Nagim Ben Gurion, was a Shemeres Yavam. Her husband passed away waiting for the brother now to be Amen. And therefore, the Anachrea Amen, because we were afraid that their Amen might be misinterpreted, that the Bonois not only should go and get the large quantities
they
of wine,
Shemeres.
They shouldn't become Shemeres Yavams. So they didn't say Amen. Good. Now, Tana, we learned that Baisa Kois Echad Yofa the Isha. One is good.
She was a widow.
And she was waiting for you.
And so that explains why
the her husband didn't supply with mezonos or with yain. So therefore the chachamim, they are the ones, the apotropes and whatever, they gave her the sasayim yain.
Right.
And she said to herself, that's not enough. You know, I'm used to having three sons. They only gave me two sons.
They shouldn't want to say amen.
Because they didn't want their daughters to become widows too.
And that's the shot, but they shouldn't have said amen, because when we say she was a klala in and of itself, that she was...
She intended it as a klala, but for them it would be a bracha. She said to them, that's the amount of wine that you should go and give to your daughters. Now, for their daughters, they probably only got those small little Kedem bottles that they give out, Kedem grape juices that they send for Shlachmunis. Yeah, that with 4 ounces or something. Yeah, you should go and give Sasayim Yain. That's a lot. That's what you give for your daughters. So she meant it negative.
They would have said amen to that?
They would have said amen, because for them, Sasayim Yain is like getting... Two cases of cannon bottles. Oh, that's, yeah. I'm used to going against
the context
little...
of her being a widow made it dangerous.
Right. Made it problematic.
I would have thought she was also saying, your daughter should also have a stingy amount like that.
That's what she was saying. The stingy amounts for them.
For her, it would be stingy for them.
They would have said, Amen. That's good. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, halavai. We should go and get that amount of society. Oh, halavai. Tana, we learned in the Braisa. Kois echad yofalisha. One kois is good for one. Shnayim nivalu. Two is already nival. Shloisha tivas bepeh. Tivas bepeh means that chas v'sholem, she will go over to a man and she would tave and say, I want tashmish. If you give her arba, afil chamar tivas b'shul. Never, she would even go over to chamar. Ve'ina makpeda, she wouldn't be makpeda. Remember, we had this the other day where the Gemara said that if the husband wants her to go and work with the chamoyrim, she can refuse, because the chamoyrim and the susim, unfortunately, want to go and be merabeah. They would want to go and live with the woman. However, if he just sends her to the cows are holy cows, and they wouldn't, chas v'sholem, want to be teveah for tashmish. Anyway, Amarav, leishanu elish ein ba'ala ima. All of this is if ba'al is not with her. A ba'ala ima, less limba. These rules don't apply. She could drink even 20 bottles of wine, because after all, her husband with her, you don't have to worry about tashmish. You have the husband. There we were talking about that Chana was together with Elkanah, and we said she didn't want to drink. Why not? She could have drunk, wouldn't be a problem. They were not at home. They were guests in an inn, a motel, or somebody else's house.
They were Ola Lerego, right?
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Then Eli said, "Shibai Shilo, why are you drinking?"
Perfect. The Yom Ravuna, Minayin Lachsanoi, Shasur Tashem Mita. If you happen to be guest in somebody else's house, you should not engage in Tashem Mita. Shenemar Vayishkim Bavoyk Mishachlof Nei Hashem Vayishuvu Vayivoyol Beisam Haramasa, and then Vayeda Elkana Eschana Ishtai. For Yisrael Hashem, only after they left, when it came back to Beisam Haramasa in Ramah, then boom, that's when they lived together, but not prior to that. What's the reason why? Because the Masa Tashmish, okay, so in Halacha it's brought that if they have a separate room, a separate bedroom, in other words, it's not a common room for the whole Mishpucha, then that's fine, number one. And number two, they also have to bring along their own linen or their own towels, because you don't want to leave a stain of keri, or certainly not a blood of chas v'sholem if she's pares nida, on any of the bet kavant, on any of the linens or any of the covers, because that would be embarrassing. So that's our Gemara is talking about a situation where they didn't have a separate room and they didn't have separate linen, and therefore bite them. Zokimor hashta in Only now did Vayed Elkanah Chana, but not previously, because they were Achsanoim, they were guests, and therefore they didn't get us. So since they were guests, that's why she didn't drink wine, because she's not supposed to have Tashmish in somebody else's house, and finished. That's the end of that story. Now, Nushika. Choyme de Bissa de Abaye. Abaye's wife's name was Choyme. Here we're talking about that Abaye had already passed away, and that Choyme is now an almana. So they come to the Rabbi, she came in front of our Rabbi, she wants to have some food. It's Omrelei, Psoikli, Mzoini, please give me some Mzoini. Pasakla, he gave it. Pasakli Chamra, please go and give me some wine. Omrelei, Yidana Bey, Barachmeni, Doliabashosi Chamra. I know that Nachmeni was a nickname for Abaye for a number of reasons, that he didn't drink wine, and therefore I'm not going to give you any wine. Omrelei, you're wrong. Chai Damar, I swear. To have a Mashkilei, Bishufrizi, Kihai. That he would go and drink wine in tall, tall champagne goblets, and they were so tall, it went from her elbow till her middle finger. A tall goblet, he was like an Elionovikos that you have at the Seder, a huge cos, and he would drink a lot of wine. Now, as she was doing that, as she is demonstrating with her arm from the elbow to her top finger, Iglidara, unfortunately, the blouse came up a little bit, and part of her, the upper part of her arm became revealed, and as a result, it's as if it lit up the bezin. Presumably, this is a euphemistic term, that this became a source of pritzus. We don't have tzniyos here in the bezin. Come Rava Olebeise. Rava, who was here at part of this whole discussion, after all, she was asking Rava to go and give her wine. So Rava was so startled by this. Aroused, fine. And what did he do? Olabase immediately ran home, told the Bast of Chizda, and he asked his wife, who is the daughter of Chizda, I would like to go and live with you. And she thought, this is the first time anything strange like this has happened in years. Omrele Bast of Chizda, man hava, in the Beit Dina, what happened today in Bezdin? What's going on? Omrele, so he said to her, Choyma de Bissu de Abaye, Choyma, the wife of Abaye, who apparently was a very attractive lady, and apparently the Mrs. Rava, the daughter of Rav Chizda, knew who she was, and she said, "Oh, Nafka Basra." So then, as soon as she heard this whole story, so she ran after Choyma, the almana of Abaye, Machsala Bikulfi Deshida, and she started giving her petch with Kulfi Deshida. Kulfi Deshida, says Rashi, means the lack of an argos. Argos means a box. So such a local type of lock, not a lock of a door, a lock of a box, and she started hitting her with that until she drove her out of town, because Ruv, as you know, was the Rava, was the Ruv of Mechayza. Now, and then she said to her, the final stinger, Amrullah, Katlis Lech Plosa, you've already killed three husbands, the Asas Lamikdalach Rina, and you want to go and kill a fourth husband, you want to go and take Rava. So the Gemara says, else we had in Yevomis, between Rebbe and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, what is the number that you need for a chazaka? Is it two or three? What's the difference? According to one manyama that holds two, as soon as two husbands pass away, she can no longer marry a third. The other manyama says, no, you can marry three, but you can't marry a fourth, and never have a third one also pass away. Shamudia, but I don't know. Okay, good. Fine, that's what we come. We'll get there. In Yevomis, we only spoke about the women. Now, it says over there that Abaye relied on the Kula Dikashita. Choyma, unfortunately, had already never two husbands had passed away. She buried two husbands. He relied on that. It's only three that makes a chazaka. He married her, and the Gemara says, unfortunately, apparently the halacha is like the other one, because Nebuch Abaye also passed away during her lifetime, so she buried three. And that's what now the Mrs. Rava is now trying to sting her and say, you've already killed three, including, you buried three, including Abaye. That's why she's called the Alman of Abaye. And now you want to go and marry my husband Rava, and Chas V'Shalom will also pass away. Forget about it. So she drove her out of town. Nushik, the Mitzvah of Yosef berayed the Rava. Whether she got the wine or not, we don't know. We've been whining about it ever since. We don't know the end of that story.
Isn't adjourned without a verdict because Rava had to leave.
Anyway, Choyma apparently didn't get anything because she was driven out of town. But maybe she already got it before. Okay, anyway. Continuing the mark. The Mitzvah of Yosef berayed the Rava, the wife of Yosef berayed the Rava, so the Kameh of the Chemia, berayed the Rav Yosef, she came in front of the Chemia. Omrelei, psoikli mizayin, kim mizayin, psoikli. Psoikli chamer, I want wine, psoikli. Omrelei, he said to her, yadana behu, the b'nei mechoyze, tishosu chamer. The reason why I'm giving you is I know because you come from mechoyze, this is Rav Yosef, the son of Rava. Rava was the Rava in mechoyze. I know mechoyze, the women drink wine, so you're a regila, and therefore he gave her wine. The visit of Yosef Reda Menashe Midavil from a place called Davil. Asoy lekamid of Yosef. Amalei psoikli mizayni. I need mizaynis. Pasikla. Psoikli chamra. Pasikla. Sinkli Shiroi, now she's asking for clothing, silk clothing. Amala Shiroi Lama, what do you need silk clothing for? Now, we're talking about that she's an almana. She's an almana, you don't have to impress your husband. So what do you need? A fancy garment. Amalei, Lecha, Ulechavrecha, Ulechavrecha. Which means that it's true, my husband is no longer around, but I cannot go around looking like a beggar. I have to impress people so that I keep my status in society, that people think of me as being a chashev lady, and therefore that being the case, that's why I need chashev clothing for you, for my chavetzes, etc.
It's a
kalamoy. Yeah. The nice lamita mappets and machzelis. Look more at mappets and machzelis. Lomala, tiyavla. What happens? What do you need mappets and machzelis? After all, she has a bed. What does she need these mats for? Amrapapa be answered in Higi the Malu Puria Bechavli. It's talking about those places where the manufacture of the beds, the basic frame and the bottom of the bed was made out of these thick ropes. Thick ropes are mavagirla. Rashi says mavagir means the lushan of being mitzayer. It's very uncomfortable. And also lushan boigris umaskin oisa. Anybody that has to sleep every night on these ropes ages prematurely. They become the age of 80 at the age of 40, and they look old and never. Yeah. So therefore, you put the mappets and machzelis, which are much softer, you put that down on the ropes, machai, and then you're able to go and sleep at night. Turn about, but ain't nice to carve guests. You don't give her a pillow or a cushion. You should not an amru, nice to carve guests. You do give a pillow or a cushion. Hey, chidam, idi orcha, if that's the normal steiger that she normally has as well as her mishpacha. Usually has karvikesis. My time at the Tanakhama. Why did the Tanakhama say ein noisulah? I mean, that's the way she's brought up. And remember, we had the Gemara before that she's oiler to his standards, and she doesn't go down to his standard. Her first standard is to have karvikesis. Why do you give her karvikesis? Eloi v'ilav the orchav. That's not her standard. So why did Rav Nosson say noisulah? My time at Rav Nosson. Well, it's really going the orchei the day v'lav orchav dida. That was his standard, but it's not only it's him in particular. He used to use a carve kesef. She normally did not, even after they were married. He used a carve kesef. She didn't. So therefore, you don't have to give her a carve kesef because she is used to sleeping with that. Tanakam besovar omer lo ki azilna shekilna lo v'ki asina maisin lo hubadoi. Remember, we're talking about a sholish, so the husband is not home. He's traveling. And so he says to the sholish, you don't have to give her carve kesef. She never sleeps with carve kesef. I need it. When I travel, I take along a special carry-on in which I leave my karvikesis. That's those things that we wear around the necks, right, on the planes, to be able to sleep a little bit. So I take along my karvikesis. When I come back, my sin little badoy, and I'll bring it back for myself. And therefore, don't supply her with a karvikesis. She doesn't need it. From Nosan Tzavar, who Amrulay, she says, Zimnin Mesram Bibin Eshmoshes. My husband sometimes comes the last minute. Right, Ben Ishmosh's time on Friday, and he's very firm. He doesn't hold by the Erev, and therefore he's not going to go and carry. And he's not going to be able to bring the Karvikesis. And therefore, Vishakas Luludidi, he's going to take away my bedding, so I'm going to have to sleep on the floor of Maglis the Al Ara. Therefore, supply me with the Karvikesis as a backup. Anytime that he's going to come late, he doesn't have his Karvikesis, I'll be able to hand it over to him. He'll be able to go and use it. Benoisa La Kippa. She didn't need it for herself, but she needed it for him.
As a backup.
She was afraid that if the person is not going to give the karvikesis and he's going to come in Friday night, he's going to go and take away, says Rashi, Mapat Shali. He's going to go and take away
her basic bed.
Exactly.
It's
going to
be a dual purpose.
Exactly. That's why I'm going to be on the floor. I won't even have a bed to sleep on. Nishka mattress and Nishka chavolim nishgunish. I'm going to be on the floor. Leave me a karvikesis. If he comes home without the karvikesis, my darling, my husband, here's the karvikesis for you. I prepared it. You have it. Give up. But no, he's a lucky, but he gives her a zatichun once a year. Hi, Tana. Shliach arti. Shliach atulan. Here the word shliach doesn't come from the word shlichus. Here the word shliach, says Rashi, means a person who has been stripped of his garment. So this person is shliach atuloi. He's a person who's stripped and therefore he's not wearing any clothing. For Rami Masani, and he's concerned about buying 3 pairs of shoes a year. So Rashi explains like we explained in the Mishnah. When it comes to clothing, you only have to buy once a year. At the end of the year, maybe those clothing are worn out, you can't wear them. I don't care, so stay in bed all day and cover yourself with a blanket. But make sure she has 3 pairs of shoes. Does that make sense? Isn't that crazy? 3 times a year you have to buy shoes and you only have to buy clothing once a year. We're talking in a mountainous region with a lot of rocks and boulders. All of the soles and the heels of the shoes wear out very, very quickly because you have the steep terrain, you have to go on the mountains and on the rocks. It's also telling you, give three times a year, but don't go and give three times a year, once in January, once in June, and once in September. He's telling you specifically, go and give it a moed, you might as well give her a simcha, since Yom Tov a mitzvah with a sameach ishtoi, you might as well give her at that time. Should we stop here, or should we finish till the end of the parak? Okay, so we're going to finish the end of the parak. So, okay, we're right. There's two different types of matbeis. You have a zuz pshita, which means zuz medina, and then you have a zuz, which is a zuz tsuri. And Rashi says always, and Rashi pointed out over here, the zuz tsuri was eight times the value of the zuz medina. The reason why that is because the zuz tsuri was pure silver, while in the zuz pshita, it was only 1/8 made out of silver, and the rest was an alloy of other metals like copper and other things, and therefore it was much cheaper. So it was, had a value of 1/8 of the other. So the Chamisha Zuzi we're talking about are these huge, heavy-duty, valuable Zuzi. We're talking about the Pushita ones, which were much less valuable. How do you know? It says at the end of the mission, if you're talking about a real heavy-duty matbeis, the Zuz Tzuri, he doesn't get that amount of wealth in 10 years. That's huge! We're talking about the cheapies, right? The cheap dollars and not the expensive dollars. And during the winter, etc. Moiser mezoinis labal, moiser belois leisha. Moiser mezoinis means what happens if the woman, Baruch Hashem, she doesn't eat with a voracious appetite. She is skinny and she doesn't eat so much. Now the husband has set aside a certain allocation for her, and there's extra. What happens to that? She doesn't pocket it, she gives it back to the Baal. Moise Beloyes Leisha. If she has worn through the garment, and he keeps her buying her new garments every year, and for 50 zuz, and Baruch Hashem, she has Beloyes, she can keep those Beloyes for herself, those worn out garments. What is she going to do with it? In the times of Chazal, the women wore different garments during the Menida days than the regular days. And that was a siman to the husband, you know, stay away because of the fact that I'm a Nida. So therefore, she would wear these worn out garments on the Nida days. Today she's off limits. And then when she would be called to go to the mikveh, then she would wear normal, beautiful garments to go and entice him, etc. Om Rabbi, Noktinan, Moisa Beloyes, Almana Liyarsh. Now, what am I going to do? Where you also have to give an allocation of begodim every year, just like you give mazonis. So what happens if she has extra belais, then she has to hand those over to the yarshim. What's the reason why? So I'll tell you why. By the husband, we said the reason why she needs the belais, because she doesn't want to... She doesn't want to be moist normally, and during the nida days, she should be moist, otherwise not. But Halchot is kind of a Tizgani, as far as the Yorshin, exactly, these are not her children, these are usually children from the other wife, so therefore, if they don't like what she looks like, that's not her problem, that's his problem, who cares? Therefore, she has to give the Beloyes to them, and presumably they can get either tax write-off, or if they donate it somewhere, or they can sell it second-hand clothing, whatever.
But don't we say, in the case of a woman who marries based on one aid, low ksuva, low this, low Beloyes, she doesn't get the, usually she keeps the Beloyes, doesn't she? The blows belong to her. How are we now saying the blows belong to her?
We're talking about now post-Almanatite. She's now been Almanat for 10 years, okay. And they've been supplying her for the last 10 years with clothes.
Okay.
And she has clothing from post-Almanat. Those she has to hand back to them. So, Timur, my Oichelis of the Mishnah. So, we already talked about this before. My Oichelis, it says Friday nights to eat together. I'm not going to my Oichelis Mamish, that he has to be home to go and eat together with a piece of kugel and some fish and all the rest. Ravashi Omar, Tashmish. We're talking about Tashmish. So, now we learned in the Mishnah. Those are the same terms. Why do we use the term of Eicheles if we mean Tashmish? We're talking about a Mishnah. It's in the Pasuk. Achla Machzapia. The Amar Leipalti Yavin. It's talking about a Zoyna. She Achla. She engaged in Tashmish. Machzapia. And then she wipes up her peh Shomata. And she. What did I do? I didn't do anything. You know. She destroys the evidence. No. But Ochla means a Lashon of Tashmish. So therefore, we're using a Lashon Noki, Lishnam Ayim. Right, the Mitzvah. Reb Shem Gamliel Oimer, Oichelis B'lei L'Shabbos, V'Shabbos. Not only do they eat together Friday night, they eat Shabbos day as well. If you're talking about Achila, I understand. They eat Friday night, they eat Shabbos morning. Friday night, they only had a piece of Kugel. Shabbos morning, they have Kugel and Cholent. I understand. Elaman Yomer, Tashmish, Tashmish, Shabbos, Meika. Is it Tashmish on Shabbos day? Friday night? Yeah, on day. So therefore, what are you talking about? If it's dark in the house, it's like night, then it's mutter even during the day. So therefore, you could learn pshat in this price. After all, Rechelis means tashmish both at Friday night and during the day. We send the Mishnah that if she's manika, then she gets a break from the amount of shesi or erev that she has to prepare for the hut. Torah Shem Rab Ula Rab Apiskal Ben Nisiya Avu Bisha Omer Ein Adam Zon Es Bana Ubenoisav Kshein Ktanim. Although we said earlier, we had an earlier Mishnah, as you recall, that there's no absolute requirement that a father go and supply food to his Banim Ubenoisav even when they're Ktanim. It's not an obligation. Obviously, most fathers who can afford it are going to do it, but it's not an obligation. Avu Zon Ktani Ktan. Remember, we had a choice to support this earlier on in our sector. Ktani Ktan. I come, but what's the sheer, how much Ktanim? I've been chased until the age of 6. So in other words, if you have a child up to the age of 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, then a father does have an obligation to go and supply them with food. Now, how do I know that? Because it talks about if you are making two eruv yitchumen, one for the father and one for the mother. The reason why you're making two eruv yitchumen on Shabbos, because the father wants to go and hear a drasha, and the mother wants to go and hear a sermon in some other type of place, and therefore he wants to go to the right, to the Tzofen, and she wants to go to the Dorim, but they have a cotton. What do we do with the cotton? So it says, Rabasi, the cotton yoytzei be'erev imay until the age of 6, because he needs his mommy. He doesn't want his tati, he needs his mommy until the age of 6 because of that very strong relationship.
Maternal bond.
Ah, very good. Maternal mommy to the child. So we see that until the age of 6, it's with a mommy. Once 6 has passed, he becomes more independent, and then from that point on, then the father doesn't have to supply mezayis. So to my mind, how do I know? Midiktoni hoysa minika hoysa lo bimasi adeha umoysif lo al mezoynoyseha. You have to be moysif on her food if she is a minika. My time. What's the reason why you have to go and give her more food? Lamishin the boy lemechol bada, because she is supporting this baby that she's nursing, and therefore the baby needs food and the mommy needs food, and that's why you have to be moysif food. See here too. A child until the age of 6 who's going always with his mommy wherever they go, even on Shabbos, a Eruv Tchumen, so then she has to supply food not only for herself, but for her child. And so therefore, the father, just like he has to supply mezoinis for her, and when she has a baby, he's moisim mezoinis for the nursing, so he has to be moisim mezoinis for the baby even after the baby's no longer nursing, when the child is already 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 until the age of 6. He has to be moisim mezoinis for the child. What's the right? Maybe the reason why he's giving more mezoinis to the wife when she's nursing is not be able to sustain the child. And vis-a-vis the child, he has no chiyuv, no obligations at all. The reason why he gives more to the mommy when she's nursing, because pushit, she's weaker. After all, she's losing a lot of her minerals and nutrients as a result of the nursing. So she's shvach. However, so what's a nafkimin? A nafkimin is if the baby is already no longer nursing, has been totally weaned, Baruch Hashem, she's no longer shvach, she's not sharing her milk with the child, so then maybe you don't have to go and give food, even to ktanim, ktani ktanim, maybe you don't have to give food. The Imam came listening, if that's the case, it should say in the Mishnah, Imhoisa choyla, mayim hoisa meinika. It should say in the Mishnah, if you have a woman that happens to be a chola, then you have to go and give her more food so she get more energy and more strength. Why are you talking about a meinika? Maybe the Mishnah is going to tell you that there's a din that if your wife is a choylech hashashon, you have to give her more food to strengthen her, and that every menika has the status like a choylech, and you have to give her more food. Maybe that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. But lemaisa, you still don't have a raya legabik tanik tanin. The fact that it's in the Mishnah, you have to give her more mezainis, and not for the fetus, for the baby, or not for the fetus. We're talking about for the baby that's nursing. Not for that. You have to go and give it for her because she's shvach, that she is a choylech. So therefore, you have no right for the Mishnah. But nevertheless, the Gemara says, "Itmar Omer Bishur Ben Levi, Moisif Lo Yayin Sheyayin Yofel Chol." Even though the Omer Aleph we said, "Don't give her wine." Here, however, we're talking about not for her needs. She needs it for the Cholov to go and replenish the nutrients in the Cholov for the baby. Then you're allowed to. Oh, so I see the reason why your Moisif is not for her; it's for the child. Same thing is the Tanik Tanim until the age of 6. You have to be Moisif. You have to feed them. Handle Chafel Pi. See you tomorrow. Have a wonderful...